So whenever I was in college, I heard two phrases that really had massive impact on my life. And I'll share those two phrases with you. And I don't remember where I heard it, whether it was a professor or it was, I went to a Christian university, so we had what they called convocation. It was just a large chapel with thousands of students. I don't know if it was a speaker there or where that I heard it, but I heard these two phrases and they forever sunk into my heart and they really began to change the way I did life and thought about life. And the first one was this, is the two most influential things in your life are the books you read and the people you meet. Someone told me one time, the two most influential things in your life will be, Daniel, the people you meet and the books you read. It's really one of the motivators that got me started reading, because before that, your boy didn't do a lot of reading. So Tammy would be like, don't you remember in school you had to read this book? I was like, yeah, I didn't read that. She'd be like, what do you mean you didn't read it? I was like, well, I'd just ask my friends or get Cliff Notes back in the day. Come on. Or you just sat close to someone that was smart. And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. All you judgy people out there, just judging me. I repented. And but I remember that, and it kind of got me, I was in college, it kind of got me going on this reading thing of, oh, I need to read because reading will help me. And then it also made me think about relationships, that the people you put around you really matter in your life and the people you meet. And so I began to like, want to meet more people. And because of this other phrase that I heard was this, is you are the sum of the five closest relationships in your life. And I thought, man, and if you think about it, it's really true. Like in every area of your life, you look at your five closest relationships, you're probably the average in health. You're probably the average in financial health. You're probably the average in your career. You're probably the average of the five. Because a lot of times what happens is like you put people around you that are like you. Are you with me? You kind of, birds of a feather flock together. Can we say it that way? Are y'all tracking with me?
Yes.
And so I began to think, this is so important in my life. And so I just started running around campus going, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Will you be my... I didn't really do that. Like, don't do that, okay? That's weird. But it did change my thinking about it, because I began to think this, why is that true? And the reason it's true is because the books you read and the people you meet influence the way you think. We talked about how powerful your thinking is last week. And the books you read and the people you meet begin to influence how you see the world. And how you see the world is how you interact with the world. And how you see God is how you interact with God. And how you think about things. And if you can get people that expand your thinking, then you can maybe see the world in a different way and therefore live in the world in a different way and make a difference in a different way. And so I began to get strategic about getting around people that would take my thinking to another level. Are y'all tracking with me? I wasn't stalking people. I'm not talking about that. That's weird. Don't do that. You could get arrested or it's restraining orders. I'm not talking about stalking people, but I would just try to find my way into places. I would go into different environments. I remember one time I drove a professor just to be in the car with him. He was like, will you drive me to this event? I was like, absolutely. He slept the entire way. So I didn't get much wisdom that day. But I was like, I'm going to put myself in the environment. Are you following me? Like I would put myself, if someone said, will you come do this? I said, yes. I said yes to everything. Why? Because I wanted to be in the environments that could stretch me and grow me, because I knew the books I read and the people I meet would end up influencing my life in a really great way. And here's what that taught me about life in general, especially about relationships, is you have one of two choices. Every one of you have one of two choices. And it is this, you will either live relationships by default or by design. You'll either live them by default or you will live relationships by design. In other words, you will either let life happen to you and whoever ends up in your life just passing through, you just kind of, that's what I do and that's how it happens and it's just kind of my lot in life, and you'll just make the excuse of, I can't really change this, and so you live by default, and that'll bleed into every area of your life. Or you'll live it by design. Here's another word for you, if you want a different word than design, is this. You'll live it intentionally.
Amen.
How many of you know that nothing stays where you put it? Your health doesn't stay where you put it. Your finances don't stay where you put them. Nothing is on autopilot in your life. Relationships, for sure, are not on autopilot. You can't put your marriage on autopilot. You can't put your parenting on autopilot. You can't put your friendships on autopilot. You can't put your relationship with God on autopilot, because nothing stays where you put it. Everything relationally has to be intentional. You don't build great friendships without intentionality. You don't build great marriages without intentionality. You don't build a great relationship with God without intentionality. It just doesn't happen. You can live by default, but you won't have greatness. Or you can live by design. Or you can live by intentionality. Are you following me? And so I want to talk to you about building intentional, about choosing intentionally. The idea of choice is that I've given thought to it or intent to it. So why is it so important for me to build intentional relationships? Because your relationships have massive influence on you. They have massive influence on your life. I want to give you some thoughts about relationships, and I'm going to give you four really practical things that I think spiritually you ought to build into your life relationally, because this will be the best year you've ever had if it's the best year spiritually. Some of you are listening. Yes. Number one is this. Let me give you four quick thoughts. Number one is I would encourage you to nurture your important relationships. Nurture the important relationships in your life. I think about relationships like this. How many of you love a good like fire pit? Come on, you love a good fire pit? Amen. Okay, good. Few of you. The rest of you should get on board. It's really amazing on a cold day. Not really cold, but kind of cold. You know, I don't want to sit outside if it's freezing. It's like that. You don't keep a good fire going unless you continually add logs. You don't keep a good friendship going unless you're adding logs. The logs of time together, the logs of honest conversation, the logs of listening. Are you following me? You don't keep a good marriage going unless you're adding the logs of dating and the log of intimacy. Hello, somebody. The log. Some guys just woke up. What did he say? Amen. 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 I believe that. You don't get, unless you add the logs into relationships, they don't just happen. It's not by default, it's gotta be by design. It just doesn't happen, it comes by intentionality. Are you tracking with me? And so I'm gonna be committed this year. One of the best commitments you can make this year is I'm gonna nurture the important relationships around me. Your parenting relationships, unless they're intentional, they don't just happen by default, they have to happen by design. I'm gonna nurture my relationship with God. I'm gonna nurture my relationship with other people. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-control so that you can pray. That's good advice right there, right? Are y'all with me? Then he says, above all, like big, big deal, really important, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply. Maybe this be the year that you nurture the important relationships around you, because here's the reality. Listen to me. Look in my eyes right here. Every campus. What you stop building into will eventually leave your life. What you stop building into. When people stop feeling value, they eventually leave. So you got to nurture those. And here's the deal. Life happens, and because life happens, we can take some things for granted, can't we? They'll always be around. They're always there. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the relationship is great. That doesn't mean it's thriving. That doesn't mean that it's everything that it could be. I'm gonna nurture the relationships around me. Number two, I'm gonna restore my broken relationships. May this be the year that you restore broken relationships. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm out now. You don't know who I'm dealing with. I get it. And we're going to talk about that in the relationship series. So I'm not going to spend too much time here on it. And I'm not telling you which Sunday we're going to talk about offense and forgiveness. Because some of you would be like, I'm out that Sunday. I don't want to give anybody anything. Just stay home from church. But you'll go to work Monday. Yes. Hacking up a lung. Anyways. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. And so then the question is, well, how do I forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think, honestly, in the church, we've allowed some, like, secular humanism to come into our thoughts on biblical forgiveness. And we begin to justify our way towards not forgiving some people. And we begin to say, no, how did the Lord forgive you? Before you were ever born and before you ever offended him, he sent Jesus yes. into the earth to die for you, to offer forgiveness freely before you ever wanted it.
Yes.
That's what forgiveness looks yes. like. We'll get more into this. I'm not saying relationships that are harmful to you should you be like, come back into my life and hurt me again. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about not carrying an offense and bitterness into another year because it only eats you alive. The old saying really is true that whenever you forgive, you set a prisoner free only to find out you were the prisoner. So I'm gonna restore broken relationships in my life. I'm not gonna carry offense. I'm gonna know that my heart is clean relationally with me and God and me and others. Are y'all tracking with me? Say amen. Number three, I'm gonna sever any harmful relationships. Some of you are like, amen now. Now I'm with you. I done severed the one you was talking about in point two. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with the wise becomes what? Everybody say it. He who walks with the wise grows.
Wise.
Come on, an overflow. He who walks with the wise grows.
Wise.
Grows wise. But a companion, a friend of fools, suffers harm. Why? Because the Bible's trying to show you that you're the average of the five closest people to you. And if you surround yourself with foolishness, I'm not talking about disowning people. Are y'all following me? I'm talking about the circle that you put close to you that influences you. The one that you share life with, the one that you walk the journey with. I'm not talking about being a mean Christian. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm not talking about you like texting people right now. My pastor said we can't hang out anymore. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ones that are wanting to pull you back from who God wants you to be. I'm talking about those relationships in your life, and you know the ones. Some of you are like, but that's my family. You have family of origin, but you can have family of choice. You know what I'm talking about? It's the people that every time you start to take an advance in some area of your life, every time you start to step forward into some area of your life, they're like, well, you too big for your bridges. Oh, you at church all the time now. You a holy roller now. I'm talking about the people because they like the old you. The old you makes them comfortable. The broke you makes them comfortable. It's not about you. They don't care about you. They care about their comfort. And the broke you makes them comfortable. The addicted you makes them comfortable. The gossiping you makes them comfortable. And they don't want you to break out of that because then it shines a light on their brokenness and their gossiping and their negativity and their dysfunction. But God is wanting to move you from victory to victory and from glory to glory. And at some point you can go, I love you and I can interact with you, but I can't have you in this circle because you want to keep pulling me back from the destiny that God has for me. And so I've got to sever. I've got to get some harmful relationships out of my life. And I've had to live that journey myself. I've had to hear those things myself. I know what it's like to hear like, oh, well, you're too big now. I've heard, I've gone back to where I grew up. Oh, you pastor that big church now. You think you're too good for us back here? No, it ain't it at all. I'm just committed to getting better and better and better. Are y'all tracking with me? I know what it's like to hear that. But I can't allow that to limit what God wants to do in my life. So I have to keep that voice at a distance. And the voice I have to keep up close is the one that is going, no, pursue everything that God wants for you. No, keep believing, keep trusting, keep hoping, keep blessing in. Are y'all tracking with me?
Yes.
Number four, let me keep going. I'm gonna initiate some meaningful relationships. If I've gotta get some out of my circle, that means I gotta pull some into my circle. I've got to get some meaningful relationships. And you know what we said week one is that predictable outcomes are created because of disciplined decisions over a long period of time. Disciplined decisions over a long period of time. Disciplined decisions over a long period of time. Not a 3-week period, not a 1-month period. You aren't going to build these kind of relationships overnight. You're not going to build these relationships because you went to a small group one night.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. Because you showed up at church 1 month. Can I help you out? Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give it up meeting together. Let us not give up. Let us not stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more so as we see the day approaching. In other words, I'm going to keep getting together. I'm going to keep engaging. I'm going to keep meeting some new people. I'm going to keep initiating. I'm going to keep looking for some people in my life that though they have what I want, they have what I want. It's what I've done. Whenever I began to hear those, I didn't go around going, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? But I just started looking for people that had what I want. Tammy and I have some couples in our life that they have won in the parenting realm. They got kids out of the house that love Jesus, love the house of God, walking with the Lord. Can you believe, you better believe that we pull that voice close and go, tell us what you did and tell us how to do this. Are y'all tracking with me? There are people in our life that are winning in pastoring, and it's like, tell me how to do that. I want to do this for the long haul. I don't want to be a casualty on the side of the road. I want to be in my 60s and walk around here and say weird things and do whatever I want because I just stayed in it and I was faithful the long. Are y'all tracking with me? When I'm 65, I'm going to say everything I ever thought, and they'll be like, bless his heart, he's old. Get ready. It's going to be fun. I'm going to bring those people in close. Are y'all tracking with me?
Yes.
It's going to be four practical things then. Where am I going to find those relationships? How am I going to find that? Four things real quick. Number one, I'm going to develop my relationship with God. If you're going to put some habits in, some disciplined decisions in this year, develop my relationship with God, the most important one. We said week one, everything flows out of that. If you missed that message, go back and listen to that. Jeremiah 29:13, what does it say? If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. God isn't hiding. That's not the idea of this text. It's not that God is hiding and you got to go search for him. He's just saying, if you lean in, you start pursuing me, you'll learn more and more about me. You'll discover new things about me all the time. I'm not hard to find. He's like Coach Prime. You know where I'm at. If you lean in, search for me, you're going to find me. Number two, I'm going to develop my relationship with my church. Listen to me. If all church is to you is an attendance, you're missing out.
That's true.
Can I just press in a little bit?
Yeah.
If all it is just showing up and leaving, then you're not getting everything God designed for the church to be to you. I'm not talking about this one. This isn't the one for you. Hear my heart. If this isn't the one where you feel like, man, this is on mission and they're preaching the Bible and giving the gospel and all the wonderful things the church should be doing, then find one that is, but find it and go all in.
Yeah, yeah.
Go all in. Don't go through another year going, well, just whatever. Well, it'll never be.
Yep.
You, the gym will never be beneficial if you walk in the door and look at the machines. Look at people on the treadmill. Look at the dumbbells. Get a smoothie. And then go home. And at the end of the year, be like, why is my waist size bigger? Because there's a sugar in the smoothie. It's unhealthy. They're trying to trick you. And you didn't pick up a weight. You just looked at it. The church will never be if all you do is walk in and look at the song. Listen to the message. And then go back out to your house and do it again in a week or two. Or maybe 3 weeks, depending on what's on the calendar. God designed for you to be in a family. Ephesians 2:19, we are members of God's very own family. And you're to be in the household of God with every other Christian. Can I tell you something? And I told the church this back around the pandemic time. I realized that I had taught something for years in error. It wasn't heresy, but I was wrong. I used to say, you are the church wherever you are, and you're not. The pandemic and shutting down made me really go back and study the text in a deeper way. The word church is in the Greek, the word ekklesia in the New Testament, and the word ekklesia by definition means the called out gathering. But I've heard people be like, well, I was hurt by the church, and so I'm gonna have church by myself. You can't.
Nope.
It's not possible.
That's right.
The definition of the word is the gathering. You can be a Christian. You can't be the church. You can't be the church till some other Christians get together.
Yeah.
It is the gathering. And you got to gather. Why? Because you need this. You need moments where you corporately encounter the presence of God. You need moments where someone is praying over you in a corporate, I don't know, there's something about it. There's something about it whenever in a corporate gathering, the presence of God meets us as you declare the great, how great you are. You got to develop your relationship with your church. And listen, if this isn't it, find one. Make sure they preach the gospel. Maybe they make sure they stand on the authority of Scripture. But plant yourself. Plant yourself. Go all in. I always say it like this, give us a year of your life. Give us a year. Go all in. Do everything. See if it doesn't change your life for the good. Number three, I'm going to develop my relationship with a team. Develop your relationship with a team. Get on a team. Go all in. Be a part. Why? Make a difference. You know, your church will never be the same whenever you approach church. Not what can I get out of it, but what can I give? What can I give? And here's what's amazing. It's the kingdom of God. It's upside down from the world's thinking, but it's in the moment that I give that I receive. I receive in a new way when I approach it as a giving. So I come to give, I come to serve the Lord. And what happens in that, then God meets me in a special way. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Why do I need other people around me? Why? Because nothing great can be accomplished by one person. It's too small of a number. You need other people. Why else? Because if you fall, somebody else can get you up. That's what Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tells us. It talks about there was one man and he toiled all by himself. But when he got connected to somebody else, it doubled his labor. Why? He goes on to say, two is better than one. If one falls, the other one can pick them up. And then finally, I'm gonna do this. Number four, I'm gonna develop my relationship with godly friends. I'm gonna get some godly friends. People that are for me and for God's plan for me. That's why we do small groups. You have the opportunity to get in one today. And some of you have never tried it. And today's the day. I don't know where to start. Start with the Freedom Group. That's what I'm gonna tell you. That's all the people that have been through Freedom. They're like, oh yeah. People are like, what is it? I can't explain it. It's hard to put words to it. Just know you'll come out on the other side different in the best of ways. Just know you'll come out on the other side knowing God like you've never known him before. But there's groups for you no matter your age and stage and place. We have small groups. Matter of fact, your children are in small groups every Sunday. That's how we built this thing. Why? Because it's in groups that I get to know your name and somebody knows me. And it's in groups where I can take the mask off. I have a small group. Tammy and I are in a small group. Some of the dearest people in our life are in our small group. It's a place where we go, will you pray for this? And will you think about this with you? And it's a place where, are you following me? It's a place where you get to be real, and it's the place, and you're like, well, I tried one once, and it didn't feel right. There's a chance the first one you won't have chemistry with. Then try another one. Are you tracking with me? And if that one doesn't work, then try until you find, right? This isn't, I learned something new about ladies. New discovery, gentlemen. That finding a new hairdresser is like breaking up and then looking for a new relationship. I didn't know this. I just thought if you didn't like the result, you go somewhere else. They're like, no. You have to keep going back even if you don't like the result, because it's almost like a divorce. Small groups ain't like that. You don't like it, find a new one. If you walked in and you're like, this is a little weird, I feel uncomfortable, then go to and find, until you find that chemistry and connection, lean in, make a decision. I'm gonna put some godly friends in my circle. Are you with me? And we've made it easy. We have a directory and you can choose day of the week or night or time or guys or a girls or a marriage group or whatever it is. We've tried to like remove all of your excuses to go get in relationships. Why? Because you are the average of the five closest people in your life, and the things that will impact you the most really are books you read and the people that you meet. And God wants to put people around you that will not tear you down but lift you up, that will help you see blind spots. Come on, that'll build your faith, that'll help you become everything that God wants you to be. And if you choose isolation this year, I can tell you the outcome. But if you'll choose relationships, I'll tell you the outcome on that too. That you'll come out on the end of this year stronger, better, more in love with Jesus, walking closer with other people, more transparent, healed. What do you mean, Pastor? James 5:16, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to Jesus, he'll forgive you. But he says, I've got to get in relationships where I can get authentic enough that I open up to others, and that's where I get healed. Some of you are walking wounded, and you've been walking that way for years because you've never taken the mask off and you've never allowed healing in. This is the year for that to change. And today's the day for you to take a first step towards that change by finding the group that is right for you. Acts 2:4, last verse, and we'll close, says this: all the believers met together constantly, and they shared everything with each other. The New Testament church, they were getting together all the time. And we know from that same passage of scripture what they were doing together. They broke bread, because eating is a spiritual gift. I'm kidding, it's not really. Don't get in an argument with somebody at work tomorrow. My pastor said eating is a spiritual gift. You may find a Pharisee. No, it's not. Your church is teaching heresy. It was a joke. They broke bread. They ate together. What else? They opened the word together. What else? They prayed together. And what happened? Signs and wonders happened among them. God moved. And that's what will happen in your life as well. You received the word today. Yes. Come on, is that helpful? Hey, let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, before earthly relationships, the most important relationship in your life is the one with Jesus. God didn't send his only son, Jesus, into the earth to live a perfect life and die on the cross and then rise from the dead three days later so that you could have a membership, or so that you could experience a religion. Jesus did all that so you could have a relationship, a real, authentic relationship with a loving God. He not only did it so you could have relationships with us so your sins could be forgiven, that you wouldn't have to walk through life carrying the weight and the burden of sin. He never meant for you to carry that. That's why Jesus carried it to the cross. He bore, it's the word the Bible uses, he bore our sin. He carried the weight of our sin. Never meant for you to carry it. And he did it so that you could have forgiveness. And the way that we receive that is by faith. All of us are trusting something. We're either trusting our good works or we're trusting that our good will outweigh our bad, but none of that is true. And the Bible says that if we'll confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. The Bible says that if we'll believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. And so today I want to give you the opportunity to confess him as Lord of your life, meaning he's in control, meaning you're done doing life your way and you want to surrender to him. The Bible says that if you do that, today is a day of brand new beginnings. Corinthians says it this way, if anyone is in Christ, they're a brand new creation. All the old passes away and everything becomes new. So today, if you need a fresh start, then this is your moment. And in just a moment, we're going to pray together. There's nothing magical in the prayer. It's just me helping you talk to God and express this to him. But if that's you, you'd say, Pastor, I need that fresh start today. Then in a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I do, I just want you to shoot up your hand. Be like, well, why do I have to shoot up my hand? Because I just think that's your expression of faith. It's an outward way of between me and you or you and your campus pastor to say, this is me. I'm taking this step of faith today. No one's going to come to you or point you out. We wouldn't embarrass you for the world. But if you say, that's me, Pastor, I need that fresh start today. Then when I get to three, you just shoot your hand up and then we'll pray together on three. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high enough, long enough. God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the very, very back, all over the room. You can put it down. Church, let's pray this out loud for the benefit of those who just slipped up their hand. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Come on, let's celebrate those who just made that decision.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.